Welcome back, everybody, to Rain on Your Parade with J.L. Covan. I'm J.L. Covan here with a quite well-dressed producer, Mike, this week. Hello, Mike.
Hi, everybody. Hi, J.L. Yeah, this is how I dress when I'm not feeling like a reclusive fat walrus.
As somebody who identifies as a reclusive fat walrus, I take offense at that.
Apologies to the reclusive fat walrus community.
Thank you. No, but what the people can't see on camera is you're wearing some white pants, some nice loafers,
yeah,
with no socks.
Yeah,
a look I detest, but you know, it's fashionable.
I'm very European, as you say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's biking yep. Home, everybody.
Yep. Dressed exactly like
this. Do you have any French bread to throw in your basket?
Italian bread only.
Hey, oh, semolina in your mouth. You want some of this bastone? Anyway, guys, those are the two breads I know because those are the two breads I buy from my Italian bakery in Jersey. Yeah. Well, we're going to, with the main topic today, you already know the main, like once people see it, they know the main topic. We just figured out. Through mutual disdain.
Yeah, pre-show meeting.
Producer meeting.
Yeah.
We came through in the clutch and found a solid topic we both agree on, actually. But one thing, a topic I was going to talk about today as the main topic, but now can be bumped to the front segment, satire. Mm. And you know how I feel about just people's decreasing level of general knowledge, the lack of the decrease in shared common knowledge anymore. The general dumbing down of people and what that's doing to comedy. But satire is like another area. It's like a more subtle area that also is hurting.
Yeah.
Because people will often say to me, how do you satirize Donald Trump? And I go, well, I've been doing it for years. Like, that's how.
Is it satire, though? Would you consider your Trump stuff satire?
Because especially if you listen to Making Podcasts Great Again, wherever you listen to podcasts, we go extreme on that. So that's what it requires. It requires a level of extreme. And there have been a couple episodes where I apologize at the end going, I get into the character, not to be too Daniel Day-Lewis with it.
Yeah.
But I get into the character and you run with it. And there was a time where this woman who was in the play, the musical Oklahoma, she won an Tony for best featured actress in a musical like 4 years ago, maybe something like that. Very attractive woman. Fairly busty, but in a wheelchair. And you can imagine the fun Trump had with that. It's kind of even sadder when you think about it. You know, she's because if she was like a nice set out of nothing, you'd be like, oh, Chad. But look at that. I mean, she's got a rack and she's like a beautiful woman. And so it's like a more of a loss.
Yeah.
When you know, and she's great. But it's like, imagine she could, I mean, if she could work.
Yeah.
You know, and at the end, I was just like, I don't feel good about that.
Yeah.
You know, because I am kind of speaking my own opinion, let's be honest. Sometimes I do a South Park thing where it's like, I do think that woman's really attractive.
Yeah.
She happens to be in a wheelchair, but she is pretty and busty.
Right.
So I just let Trump say it.
Yeah.
Secret for everybody, JL's actually the scumbag behind his Trump impression. But satire in general, I had this issue online today, and it was a very tame issue compared to what I've been running into on Instagram.
Yeah.
Because I posted a 1 minute serious video on Instagram about Republicans, how Republicans care for kids versus how Democrats care for kids. Passing big laws, protecting the climate, stopping gun violence. That's the way Democrats protect kids. Republicans do it through attacking drag shows and claiming that celebrities are drinking baby blood.
Right.
Okay, great. That's gotten a lot of insane people in my mentions. And it's kind of scary because you realize how deeply invested these people are into this sort of mythology of like the Democrats are just basically an atheist trans cult of like hidden violence.
Sadists.
And I said to one of the guys, I said, you have to believe that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're insane.
Yeah.
Like, because if you think Joe Biden is leading like a sadist cult, you're crazy. You have to believe that deeply because otherwise you're the issue.
Yeah.
But as far as satire goes, I got into a thing on X, also known as Twitter, and the new cover of the New York Magazine. It has Kamala Harris on top of a coconut because, as we were discussing, her phrase from a speech was something her mother had said, like a proverb, saying from India, which was like, "You think you just fell out of a coconut tree?" And that became like a thing, out of context, of course. And so on the cover of New York Magazine, she's sitting on a very like funny little figure of Kamala Harris sitting on top of a large coconut with like a bunch of Democrats like cheering and laughing. And I think it's, and the title says Kamalot, like a pun on either Camelot or Spamalot. Hmm. And I couldn't tell quite, but I was like, is this cover kind of a parody of the musical comedy, yep, Spamalot? Mm-hmm. But it was shared with this kind of, from a pretty prominent person on Twitter who I follow, Keith Boykins. He was like, used to be a CNN contributor, but he did it with like an arched eyebrow emoji. Like somehow this was
racist,
not racist, but is this the level of respect that we might want? And I go, but the whole point is what I found so odd about that. And I get it. I don't berate somebody for having a justifiable apprehension when it comes to diminishing black women or not giving women, sure, or people of color a certain level of respect that if it was like a Mitt Romney, he wouldn't have a cover that was maybe not. But Kamala Harris is kind of leaning into a joyful sort of and a newfound enthusiasm in the Democratic base. So I thought it was in keeping with the tone right now.
Yeah.
But he didn't say anything. He kind of put it there with like a, huh.
Yeah.
I'm thinking this one through. But then in his mentions, I had to get involved, of course.
Well, why wouldn't you?
That's what you do. I'm the hero nobody wants or needs, yeah, but I'm there anyway.
Yes.
And they were sharing this New Yorker cover. They were giving me vibes like this, several people said.
Yeah.
Now, the New Yorker cover, as I explained to you before, was an amazing, hilarious, awesome cover of the New Yorker like a decade ago, where it was Barack Obama dressed as basically a Muslim cleric giving a fist bump to Michelle Obama, who basically looked like a Black Panther with a gun strapped to her back. And this was a satire of what Fox News was actually doing. It was showing the absurdity of how Fox News was literally presenting the Obamas. And there was a famous quote from one of the Fox News members showing the Obamas fist bumping on stage. And they literally said on Fox News, some woman was like, a handshake, a fist bump, a terrorist fist jab. That's a real thing that happened.
I know. Fox News is really...
That's a real thing that was said. And yeah, the narrative of him as a secret Muslim was often said.
I was working at WABC, which was a conservative station at the time, and a secret Muslim was always brought up.
Okay, thank you.
All constantly. Mark Levin, Hannity, like...
Wow, yes. They were there at the time?
Hannity was national, so his team was there, but he was only in the office like once or twice. But yeah, Levin, I worked on his show a few times.
Yikes.
And I personally liked Mark. I don't think that he's as nuts as he is on air.
But to me, there's some danger.
Muslim shit. Yeah, you're right.
The danger is like, I've heard Sean Hannity's a really cool guy and like a nice guy.
But he's a nice guy in the way that like somebody's like square dad would be kind of a nice guy. But I know some stuff about Hannity.
Who has affairs on his wife.
That's what I was going to say.
Like, he's like a square dad who's actually fucking everybody's wife in the neighborhood.
I got some Hannity stories for off air. Nothing on air, but.
Well, that's why I get paid the big bucks. I'm not afraid to spill the Hannity.
Okay.
Come on! You stepped on spilling the Hannity.
I get it. No, I wasn't stepping on the...
It breathe.
I got it.
They're catching their breath laughing at spilling the Hannity.
Sure, sure.
Yes, I love that one. Anyway, I then commented to these people because I feel like I am a Karen when it comes to comedy.
Yeah.
I can admit you are. Because but I'm right. That's the thing. I'm often right. And maybe Karens are right too, but they're complaining about little shit. But when it comes to comedy, it's like a broken windows theory of bad opinions and takes on comedy where I go, oh, no. If I can reach out to five people and let them know that, no, this was actually brilliant satire, not the New Yorker, a fairly left-wing intellectual magazine being like, look at how we portray these terrible Obamas. It was a complete parody. And somebody was like, are you sure? And I was like, yes, I'm certain.
Positive.
And as both a reader of The New Yorker and a comedian, I am 100% certain. And that just made me think of like, it's another area of comedy where we're becoming like kind of comedy dumb. You know, just like when people share things about Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder. You know, I think it's overblown for the internet, but like when people are like, how did he not get canceled for this? It's like, because context really matters in comedy.
Right.
Like Slim Pickens on a nuke at the end of Dr. Strangelove. Hey, guys, a man on a nuke about to destroy a country is not funny.
Yeah.
Right. It's not if you say it like that. Right. Comedy is so often context is 90% of comedy.
Right. And the other thing is with Robert Downey Jr. and Tropic Thunder, it's another, it's the same reason why South Park, I don't think, gets in trouble. Mm-hmm. It's because it's when it's done really well, nobody has to go like, this is a cancelable offense. Usually the people that get canceled, which I don't even really believe happens, are just like on stage saying the N-word, like not really doing anything of any
kind. Except Morgan Wallen, which I found fascinating because I made a joke about him when that happened. And I go, they're just trying to cancel him for saying the N-word. I mean, what's next? And then I paused and nobody laughed. I was like, oh, actually, that is I think that is the stuff somebody could be canceled for legitimately. But he, of course, he's the biggest star in like
country music. Maybe
just the biggest star in music now, other than Taylor Swift, obviously.
Right, sure.
But I just, were you done?
I was just saying that I think when it's done well, you don't have to worry about something being canceled because it's obvious, you know, like then that Robert Downey Jr. character, it's like, it's blackface, but they're making fun of the industry. They're not making fun of black people.
Right.
You know,
and that is like one of those 100% of the context matters there.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
totally.
Without the context, it's like, it's Sir Laurence Olivier playing Othello in 1950 or whatever.
Right.
That's what you could be annoyed with.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr., the opposite.
Right.
And I think, as I think about it, it's a top 20 performance in Hollywood history. I'm ready to put it there.
In Hollywood history?
Yeah.
He didn't win for that, did he?
Heath Ledger, Dark Knight, which would also probably be one of the top 20.
One of the top 20 is filling up quick.
That's two.
That's two out of 20 is...
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking 100 years of over 100 years. Well, I'm really only
going to... You're going to maybe get me like... maybe one Meryl Streep and we can just, the women are done. Maybe one, Jodie Foster.
The women are done?
Jodie Foster, Meryl Streep.
Wait a minute.
I give you Viola Davis. So you know who doesn't complain.
And you got 1.5 spots for women?
No. We'll go for one legend. So I'll just say Bette Davis for the hell of it. We go one legend, one Meryl Streep. Maybe go two Meryl Streep, one Jodie Foster, and Viola Davis.
We should do this at some point. Yeah. I don't want to fill up the whole episode, but I would be fascinated to see what you come up with.
But Robert Downey Jr. to me is, and you know who else would be on my personal list?
Yeah.
Steve Coogan, Hamlet 2.
Yeah, that wouldn't make the top 20 all time.
I think it is.
Performances.
I think it would be such an outlier, though. That one would be such an outlier.
People would go, who?
No, because I'd be like, Marlon Brando, Godfather.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like he'd be there.
Yeah.
But then it'd be weird if I was like G.D. Spradlin, Senator Pat. How's he in the top 20? Because I like it.
It's the J.O. list. it's 15 actors from the Godfather movies. Meryl Streep once. And then Robert Downey Jr. and Heath Ledger. That's 17 right there, I think. 18?
Yeah.
Two left. Sense. I don't know. Michael J. Fox.
Daniel Day-Lewis has got to get a spot.
Okay, so there's 19. You got one more.
Obviously, we might knock down The Godfather to like 8 from 15 to 8.
Okay.
But we'll get to that later.
Yeah,
but,
another time.
But it just made me think because I wrote this, as always, a long, poorly read blog today on the stand-up industry. But it just makes me realize it's like... Satire is like it felt like people did not have the collective knowledge to understand the satire. Mm. Like comedy does require, if you're not doing the niche, I'm trying to just talk to moms in Iowa about like their daughters doing crowd work. Comedy requires an informed, good comedy requires an informed population, not a genius population, but an informed population. And it seems like that's just another area where it's like, yeah, if you don't know the wild shit Fox News was saying, that was highly publicized. then you're going to be like, how could they do that to the Obamas?
Highly publicized by them.
Yeah. I mean, terrorist, you know? Fist jab. But yeah, quite absurd. But I just want to plug some gigs that I have coming up, if that's okay, before we move on with the intro section.
Yeah. What are you asking me for?
I just like to be courteous because I know how much you hate my comedy.
I hate comedy. I don't hate your comedy.
August 15th, everybody, the Punchline in Philadelphia. Now, Mike, I posted about these gigs today. Seen by, according to Twitter, by like 6,000 people. Uh-huh. One comment. What do you think that comment said?
Happy to see you're in town, but I can't make it.
Take off the happy to see you're in town part.
Even better.
And no, it was like, I wish I could, it was like, no, I wish I could go, but my son is, and it was a nice comment, and I believe them that they want to go, but I was just like, anybody want to write that they are going?
Yeah.
These are the quiet, I'm not Richard Nixon. I'm looking for the loud majority, not the silent majority. But then, insult to injury, a fan of mine or follower, using very loosely, a follower of mine, begins engaging her on like, oh, what's your son, blah, blah, blah. And then here are my gigs became conversation.
People talking about someone's kid.
How's your son doing? What's he majoring in? And how's that? And I was like, cool. Cool. Glad to be a fucking community forum.
That's great.
So August 15th, everybody. I'm in Philadelphia at the Punchline.
Now that's comedy.
Yes. I need... Go. Buy tickets. Tell your friends. You have friends in. I'm telling you, it's a new hour I'm doing. New from Tallboy. New from Half Blackface. New hour. Really good stuff. It was crushing in D.C., so please come out, tell your friends, tell your people who live in the Philadelphia area. After that, in September, I'm in Newark, St. Paul, Minnesota, Rutherford, New Jersey. October, we got New York City. We got Chicago. We got something else. And then I'm in Hartford, 3 days before the election. So Boston and Connecticut fans, it's an afternoon show in Hartford on November 2nd, 3 days before the election. It's a Trump show. So, but just go to my website, check all that out. All the gigs are there. And also links, Mike, to what do you think I'm going to tell them? There's also a link to
Half Blackface.
It is. There is a link to Half Blackface on my homepage. I'm going to have very big news about Half Blackface next month. And this is like, we were just talking The Godfather. If you don't watch Half Blackface on Amazon, or you don't, you know, how did it come to this? But there is something happening next month with Half Blackface. And if I don't see purchases and I don't see reviews, I'm going to blame some of the people on this podcast. And that I do not forgive. I'm just saying it is a deeply personal, important thing in September with that. Lawyers were involved.
Yeah, money was spent.
Significant money was spent. You know, once again, very few comics would spend that. Very few comics love their own comedy enough to just on principle say, I need to own that.
But very few comics have the integrity that a one JL
They have the Covan. Success, but I have the integrity. Let me ask you, which would you rather have? Now, with that out of the way, gigs... Half Blackface, leave a review if you haven't yet. Please, Amazon, leave a review. Only if you've watched it, though. But this weekend, Mike, and a comment on YouTube told us we needed to see fewer mainstream American movies, I think, you know, which I appreciate the comment, but it was just we happened to be talking about a movie. It wasn't like...
Yeah.
We were just joking about Twisters. It wasn't like we were like sipping Mountain Dew going, have you seen Minions?
Yeah, yeah.
But... I did see a big movie this weekend.
I did too.
Yeah. And it's called, I keep saying Daredevil. It's called Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah.
It's called Deadpool and Wolverine. It's called Wolverine. And I realized something walking over here. I said, I realize that I'm like a horrible combo of those two Marvel characters. The annoying puns and banter of Deadpool with the surly quasi-intimidation, who wants to hang out with that guy of Wolverine.
I wish people could see what it's like when I'm setting up in here. It's just you, Ryan Reynolds-ing me to death.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. Well, we go, we
I'm
go
like,
high and
I'm
low.
I'm like, JL, can you just like scoot to your right? And you're just like,
to the left.
You're doing things. And I'm just like, please, can we just start this? I need to go home at some point today.
So, but here, and our conversations are either very high or very low, and Mike. But that's, I have to acknowledge something that I said to you before the show. Uh-huh. And it's something that you experience a little bit, maybe not to the extent I do, but I am like a dog at a dog park when I get out and see friends.
That's right.
And I say that as like, I try to keep it, but it's like life post-pandemic has been incredibly antisocial.
Yeah, agreed.
And so it's like, I am a social person. I like to make people laugh, but I also like to just be around people. And not all people, obviously. But even if I can complain about the people I'm around, that's giving me something. Mm-hmm. It's giving me some interaction. So I feel like that's sometimes what happens is I like show up. And Mike, I was saying, I see people, okay? I see dead people. But I see per week. But yeah, you want to put the camera on?
I don't.
Your chagrin, your look of chagrin? I see my girlfriend. I see my dog. I see Mike once a week in person, and I see Jay on Making Podcast Great Again once a week on Zoom.
And the conversation there is, you know.
Everything else.
Not stimulating.
It can be.
I'm kidding.
He's becoming a little bit of a conspiracy.
I'm trying to see how far I can push it without you making me edit it out.
Well, he's becoming a little bit of a conspiracy theorist, which might take Making Podcast Great Again in a different direction.
Yeah,
going into
a
the
fresh
election.
New direction. Yeah.
But it's like... So when I see somebody I know, it's like, oh, I got to get like 3 weeks of interaction done in 2 hours.
I can tell.
All right.
I'm just saying it is a lot of like.
When I see a great Dane.
Slow down, boy. Slow down.
When I see a Great Dane wagging his tail, I don't go, calm the fuck down, Rover. I say, look at that happy guy.
Yeah. Well.
All right, loafers. We both saw Deadpool and Wolverine this weekend.
Yep.
And what were your thoughts broadly?
Broadly, fun, but fairly forgettable. It is not to spoil too much about the topic in the second half after the break here, but it was like, to me, it was the perfect Ryan Reynolds storm. Not a shred of story whatsoever, and just, you know, entertaining for an hour and 2 hours, whatever it was. And, you know, would I see it again? I don't really see a reason to ever watch it again, to be honest, but it was fun to go to the movies and watch it. I think it's probably the most fun Marvel movie that's come out in this phase other than the Spider-Man No Way Home. And I'm
more
a big
fun
Marvel
than the Marvels
guy. Did you end up seeing the Marvels?
No.
I didn't either.
I think I watched half of it on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard very bad things. Probably no reason to see it again. Doesn't seem like it actually did much of anything other than play to every nostalgic thing, which is just kind of like, in a lot of ways, the worst kind of entertainment. But
yes.
It was fun. You know,
yes,
I didn't have a bad time, but I don't think it was any great work of anything, really.
Did you see it solo or did you see it with somebody?
I was with my parents and my sisters. Yeah, we went for my mom's birthday. That was part of my mom's 60th celebration, was going to see Deadpool and Wolverine.
All right. I think we took my mom to Vegas for her 60th.
My mom is not a Vegas person.
Okay.
We had an ice cream cake. We went to an Italian restaurant, like Point that. Pleasant, and then we went to Spano's. It's excellent, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah, very good. And okay. And then we went to the movies.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday, Mike's mom, via Mike's dad, if he's still listening to the show. But I will, what I thought about it, because our main topic is Ryan Reynolds, because Mike and I, we're sometimes at each other a little bit in friendly ways over different topics. But much like Wolverine and Deadpool, we've formed an alliance.
A team up, if you will.
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Who we both find to be immensely irritating.
Yes.
And this is going to be a fun episode. But I would say about Deadpool and Wolverine, let's not forget that Hugh Jackman actually gave a shit in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, I thought Hugh Jackman showed up to work.
Yeah.
Not to do catchphrases and have a stunt guy dance for him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought that the fact that within the movie, within the space of 2 hours, I went from, okay, this bye 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 thing is going on way too long. This is tailor made for, this is made for TikTok,
yeah,
not for a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you are trying, like there is a conscious effort to be like, let's get this, let's get like, some virality going.
JL, let me ask you, if a script came in, and forget the fact that he wrote the movie or like is a writer of the movie. Imagine you're like about to star in a movie, a billion dollar movie, and you get it, and by the end of the first page, there's an action that says Deadpool dances to Bye 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 by NSYNC to the opening credits. Do you automatically just like take a fucking lighter and just, because I'm not doing this
in front of the Marvel Studios building, douse myself in gasoline and light myself on fire
in protest.
It was by the fourth song, the fourth ironic song.
Oh, dude.
I was rolling my eyes. I was like, you're going to the same. This is already stale because it's been done in other movies a lot.
Yeah.
You did it like five times in the movie.
Yeah. Yep.
I thought meta-wise, without spoiling anything, the meta usage of like the cameos, if you will.
Yeah.
I liked that as a meta narrative of like, hey, remember these things?
Yeah.
We bought it.
Yeah.
So we get to use it.
That's the only thing that was the only thing funny. I liked about the movie.
Yes.
Because I thought that was like, if anything, and you know, I'm trying not to spoil anything either, but like, if anything came out of the movie, it was kind of this fun way to just basically be like, all of this stuff that we bought is now here in the MCU. And I think that as like a fun way to do that, it worked. But it outside
was
of that,
it was
it like wasn't a movie.
Right.
Almost.
No, it was a brand campaign.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
But I thought that the cameos that we're speaking of, that was the one really breaking the fourth wall, but original thing they did. And that was really good.
Yeah.
And once again, Hugh Jackman, again, I can't say this enough.
On steroids?
I mean, like, he only looks like a bodybuilder now, but remember the Wolverine, the one that like where he's in Japan?
Yeah.
He was like shredded to a level where I was like, is his body digital?
Yeah.
Like is that a person or is this a video game character that's been given unnatural amounts of ripped muscle and no fat?
Yeah.
But the fact that he looks like that at like 50, even can get like that.
Older than 50.
52 or something. Is insane.
And absolutely on steroids.
Yeah. But he gave a shit.
Yeah.
He acted. He like gave a performance. So now that we've gotten the movie out of the way, we're going to take a huge shit on Ryan Reynolds after the break. And we're back. Tilt of the head, sarcastic comment. We're going to talk about Ryan Reynolds on this section of the show. And Mike, before we get to that, just one thing we forgot.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr., one of your heroes and one of my top 20 performances ever.
Yeah.
Tropic Thunder. Is coming back to the MCU as Dr. Doom. So I don't know if you have an impression, if you can adapt it for this, but if you can, be my guest.
Yeah,
I don't know how you're going to do it, but try.
He's sort of an Earth's Mightiest Villains sort of thing.
Okay.
One half of impression that I have.
So Ryan Reynolds to me, and I don't know where we should start, because he's obviously living a great life. Blake Lively, he's Mint Mobile.
Almost a billionaire, I think. Yeah.
I mean, he's everywhere. He's well-liked. And that's the thing. This isn't even about him personally. This is Ryan Reynolds, the artist. From all that we can tell, it seems like he's a normal-ish guy. And
I guess
you don't hear any bad stories about him.
Except for from TJ Miller, who feels like he was unfairly treated on Deadpool 2 after he allegedly raped many women.
Oh yeah. Well, but you know what? When you're a weird looking Gary Busey style comedian, they let you do it. I had a limited TJ Miller impression where this is old fans of The Righteous Prick. It's your lucky day. I said he looked like like a missing son of Gary Busey.
Yeah.
So I said, I can only do one word as TJ Miller where it sounds like him, and that's the word dad. So I was doing this thing on my old show where I would be like, I'm Gary Busey. How are you, Michael? Are we doing a podcast today? And then TJ Miller just shows up and goes, dad, which almost starts to veer into Pete Holmes.
Yeah, sure.
But that was the limit. Dad.
Yeah.
What the fuck do you want? So
anyway, but Ryan Reynolds, for all accounts, seems like a well-liked guy. Him and Hugh Jackman, I think, apparently are like legitimately good friends. I don't know. To me, it seems weird. I can't imagine he can be that far off from his character that he plays in every movie.
And in every commercial,
right.
Hi.
How different could it be?
I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
And I talk like this. I lower my voice to let you know when to laugh.
Like, listen, I know that the JL on stage, the JL in front of the camera and behind the microphone, is the same JL that I get when I'm setting things up,
that's why the dozens of people listen to the show, because they're like, I know I'm getting an authentic product.
Right. So I know that it's not a character, but if you were hanging out with Ryan Reynolds, I just have to imagine he'd be doing the same thing over and over. Like, does he break the fourth wall when he's like having coffee with somebody?
Alrighty then.
Yeah. Right. Imagine like,
he's like Ace Ventura, not like Jim Carrey. He's like Ace Ventura.
Yes, he is. Yeah. It's like so hard to take.
The thing is, I would love to be a mega celebrity and then be like good friends with another mega celebrity, because it's probably just like the only way I can feel more high on life is to be in the presence of somebody similar.
Yeah.
And like we merge our energy, and then it's like, ha 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 ha. That kind of a
thing.
That was
psychotic.
Well, that's how I envisioned Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds hanging out.
Yeah.
Because I was giving the big vocals for Hugh Jackman.
Of course, right.
You know?
Famous singer. Showman. Yeah, greatest showman, right.
No, but as I've always said, not sure he sings well, but nobody sings harder.
Yeah. That's good. That's true. He's fine. I think that people like him on stage. My mom's seen him do Music Man. I think that she said it was good. So, I mean, you know, that's better than being bad, I guess.
Yeah. But with Ryan Reynolds, okay, now we can just get down to Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
On a macro level, the first thing I would say is when Daredevil hit, like in 20...
Deadpool.
Damn it. When Deadpool hit in like 2017, like the first one?
Yeah, I think, around there.
That sounds right. Van Wilder was 99 or 98.
Yeah, around there.
He was 2000? Going on 20 years as like an... A-lister?
I don't know. I don't think so.
But he wasn't an A-lister. Why I put it in quotes with the question mark is there are guys that Hollywood is just like, we got to make.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds has to be, we have invested acting lessons, singing lessons, and just to show you I'm not a hard-hearted man, he was the best piece of ass I ever had.
And I had him all over the world.
Now you get the hell out of here, Mike Coscarelli.
No, you are 100% right about that. He was a guy somebody said this to me back when I was doing stand-up, and it's the same sort of situation here. There are some people that like the industry just picks. And they're just like, we're going to give them as many shots as possible. Mm-hmm. Like we just like them for whatever reason. And I do think you're right. Ryan Reynolds was that guy. He had done a ton of work for years that was
like, I don't know, in sports, it's like a B minus,
you know?
Yeah. In sports, it's cool when the guy who hasn't won a championship for 14 years wins the title.
You're like, yeah.
Yeah. In Hollywood, it's not so cool when a guy gets to headline like 11 movies that bomb and then... Yo, A-list, he's a superstar now.
Right.
And, you know, Van Wilder, I never watched because it was just, maybe it was funny.
Well, it's like a dopey, it's like when it came out, I think I was in high school and it was like fun for high school kids. Kumar was in it. Like it became this thing that was just kind of like this like, oh, funny, quippy guy on, cool guy on campus, you know, he doesn't give a fuck, that type of thing.
Now, he just kept doing movies. I remember when I saw, the remake of the Amityville Horror that he was in.
Yep.
That was hilarious to me because I'm sitting there and I'm in shape at this point, but I'm sitting there with my then girlfriend and Ryan Reynolds just goes out into the rain.
No shirt on.
Takes his shirt off. And I was like, this is not necessary.
Yeah.
And this guy is ripped.
Yeah, ripped.
That
ripped.
Was an agent. Basically, this is like when Sidney Sweeney is like, you're playing a nun in a PG-13 movie. Okay, so when do I show my tits? We'll compromise, Sidney. We'll put you in a white garment and soak you in a tub so that we see the breasts, but they're not bare. Are you and your agent okay with that? Just talk it out. And they were. That's how you saw the breasts in Immaculate. It was just through cloth.
Got it.
But good job, Sydney Sweet. Always, it's like she's the reverse of what you'd expect. They're like, no, we don't need nudity. And it's okay. No, I'd really like to do a sex scene here. I insist.
Yeah.
And her male co-stars are like, if she insists, who am I to say no?
Right.
But Ryan Reynolds, he took a shot and he was just ripped. And I said, that's him saying to his agent, is there any chance, I've been working out a lot, can I get topless for this
scene? Like they say that Will Smith became a movie star in that one shot in Bad Boys. The Michael Bay,
the Michael Bay hero shot.
Yeah, the hero shot. Exactly.
It's one of my favorite shots in all of. I was explaining that.
It's like
to
shot
Laura.
From the knees up.
He does it in The Rock.
Yeah.
With
absolutely.
Nicolas Cage. If I could, AI, if you're listening, can you do a hero shot of me?
Are you talking to artificial intelligence?
Yes.
You're talking to artificial intelligence.
Yes, they're going to hear this eventually.
Okay.
Eventually, somebody will just plug something into the entire web and download in 8 seconds and blow us all up.
Got it.
But in that time, could you make a J.L. Covan hero shot in Michael Bay style? I love it. It's always somebody getting out of a car looking like 40 feet tall.
Yeah.
Oh,
totally.
Oh,
so same thing. Same thing. Ryan Reynolds running into the woods without his shirt on. It is the hero shot of his career, essentially.
But then my buddy, when I discussed that with a buddy of mine in L.A., he told me, I've never seen Blade 3.
Yeah.
And he's in Blade 3. And my friend says, everybody has a tracker. I may be messing it up. He's like, everybody has a tracker. And for almost everybody, it's behind their ear or behind their neck or whatever. Where's Ryan Reynolds?
Belly button.
At the apex of his cum gutters.
Yeah, right.
So you can see the full triangle. It's right down here. For some reason, mine is at the apex of my abdominal muscles.
Yeah, yeah.
So he is, but he has been this guy, and there's lots of guys like this in Hollywood. He's fit. He's good looking. Although maybe this works for him. He's good looking in a comedic way because he kind of has small features for a Hollywood actor.
He's ripped and his features are so soft that I think it allows him to do comedy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So as I watched Ryan Reynolds' career blossom, and it was like when Deadpool.
Yep.
Sorry, I had a Biden moment.
It's okay. I'm going to keep. You're going to do it all right.
Oh, and Dumb and Dumber came out. Jack?
Quick and the Dead.
I like that movie. When Deadpool came out, it was this they acted like it was Dirk Nowitzki winning a title in Dallas, where it was yes, fine. I'm sure his agent and whatever producer bankrolled him for a decade and a half was like.
Well, he leaked the
footage.
Oh,
to make it happen.
So he was Deadpool in one of the Wolverine movies, but it was when Fox was still doing the bullshit, not wearing the mask and not doing whatever. So he didn't really get to be Deadpool, essentially.
Right.
So the whole point was that he would come back and do this role. And I think it was with Sean Levy, who just did the third movie, too. Okay. And they were they did a test footage of him. It's the first scene of the first movie where he goes into the car. He cuts people's heads off and blah 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 blah. And
they weren't interested, but then he leaked it.
He just leaked
viral.
It. Yeah, and then it went viral, and they were like, "All right, we got to make this movie." And then that's how this whole thing got steam.
That should tell you something. When you're in Hollywood for 18 years, and your big break had to come from you leaking something on your 13th movie you're headlining.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, good for him. Yeah. We're happy now. He's a billionaire married to Blake Lively, so it was definitely a smart move on his part.
Yes,
but. When I look at him, I think of two different entertainers and how their careers didn't happen like his did. The first, because the second one's even better. The first is Taylor Kitsch. Do you know who Taylor Kitsch is?
The Battleship, right?
Battleship and
John Carter.
John Carter, which stunk.
He had two big fucking misses.
And I think he had one. He was in this movie Savages, which was an Oliver Stone movie.
Terrible movie.
That didn't do
terrible, terrible movie.
So he got his, like, hey, Tim Riggins from Friday Night Lights, like my an ex. Like his dream guy was Tim Riggins.
Yeah, of course.
And I was like, well, who wouldn't like a 26-year-old high school sophomore? No wonder he's rushing for a bunch of fucking yards. He should be going for a doctorate.
Damn it, Riggins.
damn it, Tim Riggins. What are you doing over there? Now, don't get me wrong. The coach in that show, and his name is escaping
Kyle
me.
Something. I forget his last name.
Kyle. So good.
Yeah.
So
he's a great actor. Yeah. Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah. But I look at Taylor Kitsch, and I go, good looking guy.
Yep.
Breaks out with a successful breakout role. And they're going, okay, it's time to make you an A-lister. And that's sometimes the problem. Sometimes people don't just accept, hey, maybe you're like a supporting actor. Maybe you're going to have like a 40-year career and you don't have to rush to be above the title.
I'll tell you what, though. Riggins was never going to be a supporting actor. I'm telling you. I just like so. All right. Go finish your thought. But
now he is.
Has he been in anything?
Yeah. He was in this Netflix like opioid series. As like a
that household name of the that one big that, hit,
the one that wasn't Dope Sick on Hulu with Michael Keaton, which was fucking awesome.
I don't want to cut you off, but I think that
and he played David Koresh in like another made for TV series.
Yeah, not a hot career. I gotta say, I think the thing that kept Ryan Reynolds afloat for so long was that he would show up and he could be the quippy guy in some movies that made enough money to like sustain him,
yeah.
Where he's not actually the lead, like he did that movie with Sandra Bullock, where she's the lead, she's the draw, and it's just like, all right, let's get Ryan Reynolds in there. He'll play well off of her, whatever.
McConaughey is not available. Okay,
right, exactly, yeah. Right. We can't get Hugh Grant. All right, throw in fucking this guy or whatever.
Colin Firth, too old. Okay, Ryan Reynolds.
Exactly. So he had enough of those that I think it kind of like kept his career kind of percolating to a degree, and he was showing up in so many kind of like whatever movies, like even that Wolverine movie. I don't know if it made money or not. I'm sure it did, but like he did that and Blade 3. It's just I don't know. I think that was the thing with Riggins. He got two big shots real quick, and they both fucking tanked bad. They weren't like they were monumental.
Yeah.
I mean, when do Disney movies bomb that bad?
Oh, John Carter.
I mean, my God. That is like Heaven's Gate level bomb.
Yeah. And it deserved to. It wasn't good.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, why didn't people see this? Yeah. It was so good.
Yeah.
Now, so Riggins flames out, or Taylor Kitsch, as he prefers to be called.
Yeah, his name.
he flames out to a degree. Now he's a working actor showing up in projects you don't respect, but I do.
Yes, that's right.
But no, so he's settled into like he can still get auditions and roles. And maybe he's choosy. Maybe he doesn't want to be like, I don't want to do a Hallmark movie. But hey, Netflix series, Hulu series, make money. You still have a little bit of a name. But the other person who Ryan Reynolds reminds me of is Dane Cook.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yes. Now, Dane Cook, in my opinion, can look at two different people in Hollywood and say, why didn't I become that? Because his agent, speaking of he's hot right now, I think Dane Cook was mismanaged. I'm going to defend Dane Cook here. Mm-hmm. I think Dane Cook had incredible heat. Maniscalco plus Matt Rife.
Yeah.
Heat. And he got into movies, which is the natural progression, and they threw him in like five movies in 2 years as if he was dying.
Yeah.
They threw him in like he had been given 36 months to live.
Yeah.
And they stunk except for one. The last one, My Best Friend's Girl, was a funny movie, but nobody gave a shit because he had literally tanked four movies in a row.
You know what? They were
bad movies. They were like low budget bad movies. It was like Dane Cook's popular. Let's find a hot woman to pair him with that's popular and make a bad movie.
I'll tell you what. Good Luck Chuck is not horrific.
Have you ever seen My Best Friend's Girl?
Yeah. Who's the other guy in it?
Jason Biggs.
And Alec Baldwin is also.
Yeah, I remember. Kate Hudson, I think.
Kate Hudson, yeah. I remember it being, I remember seeing it and thinking it was. It's better than Good Luck Chuck.
Yeah,
but that was his first shot at being a movie star.
Right. And to me, that's part of the problem and why I always wonder, like, but if you're already making so much money, what's the hurry? Why not do this in a careful way instead of like, we got to you know, this is the, and that was now content is even worse now.
Yeah.
That was almost like a harbinger of what was to come where it's like, yeah. You're hot right now. We got to just put you in stuff.
But you know what? I think that's the way it works with comedy movies, at least at that time. Like think about the 90s.
But you know, they were both in the movie Waiting. Which is where I was going
to Oh, say. Yes.
Right.
Great. And I forgot about Waiting. Oh, my God.
Waiting is like this moment for Dane Cook and Ryan Reynolds.
Two ships passing in the night. Yes. Yeah.
And Waiting is the kind of movies that Dane Cook should... Like, he should have been aiming for good scene-stealing supporting roles. Build it up. And now the other guy I'm going to mention, but we're going to talk more about Dane Cook and Ryan Reynolds' comparison, Ike Barinholtz, who was on Mad TV for a long time. In the movie Blockers... And I don't know if he thought boxers. I was joking, but Ike Barinholtz, when I had my huge video go viral a few years ago, he commented and was like, this is amazing. And I wrote to him, I was like, oh, Ike Barinholtz, is Blockers 2 coming out? And I'm sure he probably was like, who's this? Why is this guy a dick?
Yeah.
I was completely serious.
Yeah.
I think Blockers is a fantastic comedy that we don't see enough of.
Yeah.
It was like it grossed like 90 mil. It's an R-rated, funny comedy. Partly from like a girl's perspective, but Ike Barinholtz shows up and steals the movie. And I was like, I said to Laura, I was like, do you think Dane Cook watches Blockers and go, I should have been that kind of a role. And when I look at Ryan Reynolds, I just see Waiting as this moment where two careers, like, did they go into a bathroom and pee at the same time? And like their trajectory switched because Dane Cook is like a louder version. Like Ryan Reynolds is more like, I'm so quiet because I know I'm really funny.
Yeah.
Whereas Dane Cook is like, look at me. Look at me right now. That's Dane Cook.
It's the BK Lounge. The BK Lounge.
Pickles. Some pickles. Pickles. And I will say this right now. Dane Cook, I do not disavow any of the Dane Cook I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Like the first couple albums, I enjoyed them. I paid $50 to see him at Caroline's. Like now it started to fade as he got sort of super saturated. But the point is, Dane Cook, if anybody out there is going like, oh no, Dane Cook could have never been Ryan Reynolds. Well, maybe if you gave him six more movies.
Right.
Maybe he stumbles into a Marvel movie. And that's how I kind of view Ryan Reynolds. Yes, he's a good-looking guy, and he's fit out of his mind.
Well, Dane Cook did do a superhero movie.
Mystery Men?
Yeah. Yes. He was the Waffler.
No, but here's what I'll say. Now, that movie, you know, you were just too early. Like, Dane Cook, the Ben Stiller, like, juggernaut had not yet... After Mystery Men, Ben Stiller goes on to do Something About Mary.
Dude, Mystery Men, by the way, is great. Mystery Men's really funny.
I did see in the theater, but I should watch it again.
It's funny. I mean, Stiller had some... He was throwing heat from like 94 to 2010.
He directed The Cable Guy.
I know.
Yeah.
And the Ben Stiller show. I mean, like, he was great, man.
Yes. But he did like... After Mystery Men, it's like Something About Mary, Meet the Parents, Zoolander.
Yep.
Like... Dodgeball.
Yep.
Like if Dane Cook had been like one movie later on the Ben Stiller train, we might be talking about a different situation.
Yeah.
But those are the kinds of roles he should have gone with. But Ryan Reynolds, he had some power to just stay like in the mix in a big way for like 15 years before Deadpool happened. And, you know, so somebody out there might be going, he's not Dane Cook. I go, no. If Dane Cook had on his sixth movie a hit, a modest hit, and then co-starred in like an action sequel that did all right, like in Bad Boys 2, Dane Cook has like he's like a dickhead sergeant in Bad Boys 2.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't a humongous hit. It wasn't a great movie, but like, boop, he's showing up again. And then all of a sudden, maybe he shows up as the Punisher all of a sudden.
Right.
Instead of John Bernthal.
Imagine him as the Punisher.
But, you know, I'm just saying, no, I can't.
I mean, that would be something.
You know what you did? You killed my family. You killed my family. You walked into my house and you slaughtered them. You slaughtered them with a knife.
Yeah.
Who uses a knife? I would have used a gun. So
I mean, dude, I'm just looking at all of these movies that he's been in.
We talking about Ryan Reynolds or Dane Cook?
No, Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, they are just horrible, man. They're movies that like I remember them kind of coming out, and I remember being like, that looks bad. Every single one of them. Remember The Change Up with him and Jason Bateman, which I do think is Freaky Friday.
Bad.
Really bad.
Yeah.
He has a movie that came out called The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard.
Yeah.
Just the name of that.
Yeah.
I'm out. You know? I mean, like, there are just so many of these movies. In Peace Department. Remember that?
That bombed my mother.
Like, look at these movies,
man.
That was
Bad Men in Black.
Yes. But him and Jeff Bridges.
But he did do one movie in that like, this indie movie that I did see, which was really good.
The Buried Alive one?
Yeah, Buried.
Yeah.
That was good.
But dude, these are all hard.
But that movie probably cost $500,000 to make. And
it's like him in a box, isn't it?
Huh?
It's like him in a box.
Yeah, but it's a pretty movie. It's actually.
But I know. But it's like, yeah. That, you know, what does that cost? You pay him,
right?
You put a light in the yeah. thing and get a camera and just right. shoot it.
But
you know.
But I will say, and this is what I was gonna. This comes back. You know, this always comes back to me critiquing society.
Yeah.
What if Ryan Reynolds just needed America to become shallow enough and stupid enough? Like, in other words, he stayed the same. I talk like this.
Yeah.
I talk like this for 20 years.
Yeah.
I work out a lot, and I talk like this. And he just stayed here. But America went like this. Doot, 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 doot. We're stupid. We're stupid. We're getting fucking dumber. Hey, Ryan Reynolds, it's 2017. Why don't you become a fucking star? Doot, 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 doot. That's where we got. It's evidence. I think Ryan Reynolds, to his credit or detriment, has remained the same artist.
Yeah.
And it's like flop, 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 flop. And we're like.
But I see, this is the thing. All right. So I guess this is part of the
we're
issue.
Like, Birther. Hillary's emails. Deadpool.
So I was looking at that list of movies, and I don't have the numbers offhand, but like the thing that comes to my mind is I look at all these movies and I think, man, these are all really bad. At best, they're like forgettable, and at worst, they're really bad. But the question is, how many of those movies actually made enough money for Hollywood to be like, you know what? He's a reliable third man. Reliable. And I think that's the thing. It got to this point where like he just picked. You know, he made a conscious decision somewhere around 2009 to stop acting and just be Ryan Reynolds. And that was like, he was just like, you know what worked? Van Wilder worked. Let me just go back to Van Wilder for the rest of my career. And then he does this whole thing with Deadpool where he leaks it and it gets out and people are like clamoring for him. And he is kind of perfect for that role. I know that you're not like a comic book guy, but that's the shitty thing about the Deadpool movies are, to me, they're not very good at all, but they are perfect. They are a perfect representation of the comic book.
Okay.
So if people actually really love the Deadpool comic books, and I think they do, then it makes sense that people are just like, they got it right in a way.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that any of the source material is even really that good to begin with.
Right.
It's just kind of like honoring the tone. And I think... the thing that blows my mind is because, you know, when the footage goes out and he becomes Deadpool, he has to prove that Deadpool can make money. Mm-hmm. And then when Deadpool makes money, someone in Hollywood is like, yeah, write it. Why don't you write the other two movies? And it just becomes this thing where it's like, why is he writing these movies? What evidence do we have that he can write movies? Because if Deadpool 3 is the evidence, I mean, to me, it's a fucking... it's a conviction, as far as I'm concerned, that he can't write movies. Because can we at least agree that Deadpool 3 doesn't have a story at all? There's like things are happening on screen, but there's no real motivation. It's all very vague.
Yeah.
And it's just a bunch of cool, like, you know, there's so many quippy lines that it just drags everything down so much that
it was,
it's like...
it was quippy overload, and I would compare that to Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. The
yeah.
first season of that was one of my favorite seasons of comedy ever. The second season, it was as if they said, hey, remember how we had like 48 laughs per 30 minutes? For season two, let's go 72 laughs per 30 minutes. And I'm like missing, and I'm quick.
Yeah.
I'm like, this isn't for audience anymore. This is the writers jerking off, yeah, going yeah. like, quip, yeah. quip, quip, got a quip, got a quip, yeah, I, got, yeah. I got another quip. They're going to be laughing and they're going to miss my quip.
Quip, quip, quip,
yes,
quip, quip.
It was insane. Yeah. It was like, it was like too much.
So 30 Rock is one of my favorite shows of all time. Mm-hmm. And 30 Rock at times can be kind of guilty of that.
Right.
Well, there's times where you're just kind of like, I mean, when it's really done well, it's pretty perfectly written, just mm-hmm. like from like a storyline standpoint. But there are times where you're just kind of like, let's move this along, guys. Like, let's right. move this along. What's going to happen here? Where's the action?
Right.
And I think that was the biggest thing where I was watching it, like starting from the bye, bye, bye thing, which was just gratuitous and unnecessary
and so long
and lame, just like dorky. Because this is the other thing. Ryan Reynolds now gets to write the movie and he gets to put in all the things that he thinks are funny or whatever. And I guess they play to this Deadpool audience. But let's be honest. Ryan Reynolds is the equivalent of like a handsome athlete who like gets this ego and thinks that he's funny because girls are like, he's so funny. It's like popular, confident guy funny. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows that that's not funny.
You know who's funnier than Ryan Reynolds and doesn't even have to show it? Chris Evans.
Not another
teen movie. Funnier.
Oh, Not Another Teen Movie is excellent.
Funnier than Ryan Reynolds' entire catalog.
Yes.
Jake Weiler.
He's great in that.
Yes.
He's so funny in that.
Yes.
God, so that's such a fucking funny movie. And a stupid ass Randy Quaid is so funny in that movie.
Oh, I love that movie. But before we wrap.
Oh, I'll be driving. I'll just be too shit faced to remember to pick you up.
Oh my God, you're my sister. We're only related by blood.
Oh my God.
So before we wrap this up, there's one other angle I want to talk about because that's what I would say to people. Think about if Dane Cook had taken his career differently. We might be looking at Dane Cook in a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
But the only, and not just not to get too serious, because I do believe in real time, I discovered my theory about has America gotten dumb enough?
Yeah.
To now view Ryan Reynolds as like a comic action superstar.
Yeah.
Which by the money he is, but I'm saying by performance, Robert Downey Jr., now who is a great actor, so it's a kind of an unfair comparison. Yeah. But Robert
One of
Downey,
Earth's mightiest heroes.
Yeah, exactly. And villains, by the way.
Yeah.
He shows you like that's humor. That's somebody taking a thing and making it funny on its own. Not reference, 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 yeah. pun, reference, pun, break the fourth wall, break the yeah. fourth wall. It's all cheat codes
yeah.
to laughter.
Right, right.
And they get exhaustive unless you're an idiot. Boom, 2017. We're a fucking... Trump is president and Deadpool... Trump becomes president and Ryan Reynolds became a superstar.
Billionaire
one
actor.
One month
yes.
apart.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't it like February? Didn't the first Deadpool come out in like February?
Of 2017?
Yeah,
I can look. I'm not sure.
I think it did. But that would prove my theory even more.
Deadpool 1 was 2016.
Oh, so you get Deadpool and Trump.
So it's literally...
Trump and
yes.
Trump and Deadpool, same yeah. year.
February 12th, 2016. It's like right when he got inaugurated.
Ryan Reynolds and Trump.
Right? When's the inauguration?
Apexes at the same time.
The inauguration's February usually, isn't it?
January,
my bad. Okay. All right. Well, hey, there it is.
Yeah. So there, the theory's true. One last thing before we break is that on a slightly serious note, how many women... Or black, there isn't even that many Latin stars, really, which is crazy. But how many, just to keep it simple, how many black actors or women could have that streak, that like 15 years of like, and get a shot? And the answer is none.
Why would I would argue Michelle Rodriguez.
She is not a good actress.
No, I know, but I think
she was great in Dungeons and Dragons. I got to give her credit. Did you see Dungeons and Dragons?
No, but I know you said you liked it.
No, I didn't like it. I loved it.
Yeah. Okay.
I
believe you. I believe you.
I'm telling you, you should watch it.
I love Chris Pine. He's my guy.
Now, Chris Pine.
Yeah.
Crit, thank you.
He's great.
Chris Pine right now is sitting at home going, I did Hell or High Water. I was a great Captain Kirk.
Yeah, but Chris Pine's a real actor.
I know.
That's the difference.
I know.
Like,
but that's what I'm saying. We sit around.
Ryan Reynolds doesn't have a Hell or High Water in his
oh,
in his quiver.
God, Chris. But see, I project onto these actors and I go, you think Chris Pine is at home like I am, obsessing over like undeserving talent? Or is he just like, I live in a huge house?
No, he's probably fine.
Respected actor.
He's had an awesome career.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's the one of the most handsome men I've ever seen. He's like Bomer level handsome.
No. First of all, no. This is not a safe space for any Bomer degradation.
It's not Bomer degradation.
Chris Pine looks a little bit like the puppet from Team America, though.
That's true.
Face proportions.
He does, yeah.
Like a little bit of...
Because he's like got like a perfect-looking face.
But I'd shrink the forehead a little bit on maybe. Chris Pine.
Yeah.
And he's taking too many risks style-wise.
Yeah, he
hair
does.
And... What are you fucking... Just go...
That's what handsome guys do. They try to make themselves not
as
handsome.
As you can see, I went with the buzz cut look this week. It was growing out a little long last week. Didn't really matter. But I just question, you say Michelle Rodriguez, but how many movies has she starred in? How many has she been even like a top three billing?
Probably just the Fast and the Furious movies.
And by like the time they had Rock and Statham, she's like,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
I think her character's dead, isn't it?
Well, good. But, but like she has shown up really as more an ensemble person now. And there will never be the Michelle Rodriguez franchise is my point.
I guess not. Yeah.
So,
I mean,
but think about like you have so many actors who don't even get a shot. But I was just always fascinated and a little annoyed at the sort of this two decade. Keep going.
Yeah,
keep going. It's going to happen at some point. Of course, you do 31 movies. It's going to happen.
Well, this is the thing. It's just about being steady. It's just like if you can just kind of keep it steady.
But I think that's hard to do.
Like, it is. Yeah, I agree.
Just being steady. That's why I say like. That's why I'm. That's. Why
I mean,
I'm
listen,
confused.
It's a talent in and of itself to find this many shitty movies to be in.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I don't know about that. So anyway,
people seem to have like just friends.
Oh God,
I don't. But
that's terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
That movie stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like look at Bradley Cooper, and then we're gonna take a final break. But Bradley Cooper, he did. Wedding Crashers.
Yep.
Villain in Wedding Crashers. Huge, humongous, critically acclaimed comedy hit.
Yep.
It's not my favorite from those guys. I felt like the first half hour was the best.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then I just, once it became settled down to like, they're not crashing weddings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, meh.
Yeah.
But then he does one horrible movie, which was like won all the Razzies with Sandra Bullock, like all about Steve. If you look it up, it was like, I think it like swept.
Starring in it?
I think he was the love interest,
for Sandra
I think,
Bullock.
For Sandra Bullock.
Talk about somebody else who's made a lot of bad movies. Sandra Bullock.
But she also made some good ones.
Do you like The Blind Side?
No.
Yeah, me neither. It's a bad movie. She won an Oscar for it.
I know. But at the same time, like, yeah, it's not good.
Anyway, I'm sorry. No, but yeah, but Bradley, you know what the other thing
Bradley
was?
Bradley Cooper, like, I think he was just like, said to his agent, he was like, I'm a serious actor. I want to be a filmmaker. There will never be another All About Steve. we can laugh about it in public.
Yeah.
I will cut your fucking nuts off if you put me in another All About Steve.
But this is the thing. I think he also,
I
so
think
him,
I'm right. If you can look
him,
at it, I think
I'll
I'm
check
right.
it. But him and John Hamm. I think the other thing was they were kind of carried in a way by the comedy community in L.A. Like Bradley Cooper was in Wet Hot American Summer. John Hamm was like involved with all those people too. Like I think that they had a little bit of they had a respectability outside of like being in big movies.
Okay.
Like, and I don't know. Ryan Reynolds has just been. It just seems like been very Hollywood for. Forever. Yeah. I mean, it is. It's an anomaly. It really is. Like, you just, I'm trying to think about other careers that are like similar to it. It really is. There aren't many.
Right.
Where you just look at it and you go, like, oh man, he
but
was awesome.
Only a
in that.
White man, and I don't play this card off.
White Canadian, an immigrant.
Only a white man stealing our jobs.
Yeah.
Only a white man could have this career. Like, could have this long a stretch of, like, yeah, well, we got Ryan Reynolds. We got Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. Starring Ryan Reynolds.
God, All About Steve. Look at Sandra Bullock looking ridiculous in this movie, too. All About Steve. It was Sandra Bullock. It was Thomas Hayden Church and Bradley Cooper.
Okay.
Yeah, this looks
And I feel
horrific.
Like a few years later, he's like an American Sniper, and he's like, never again. And
now probably, yeah. This was 2009.
Oh, American Sniper was the same year, I think.
No, American Sniper was way later.
Oh, no, you're right. You're
American
right.
Sniper was like 20. Yeah, like right around there. I saw that in the theaters with a chick.
I thought it was great. And I know I thought it was like, I hated the fact that it became like hey, this is dividing the country. I was like, that movie was fucking great.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether the guy was a psychopath in real life, whatever, it was a great movie and a great performance.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Bradley Cooper was just like, I'm not going to be Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. I think after All About Steve, he was like, you're not going to Ryan Reynolds me.
Damn.
I'm Bradley fucking Cooper. And now he's like a titan. He's like the new Clooney.
Yep.
Okay. So on that note, Ryan Reynolds, sorry, but you've been rained on. Can we start that as like a catchphrase? Get your Canadian umbrella and put your wife in a white t-shirt because it's raining, Ryan.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to come back with comedy talk after this, which won't include any Ryan Reynolds talk. How about that? After the break.
Yeah, because you just said comedy talk, right?
Right. That's And we're back from the break. Mike, I didn't ask you how the break was before, but I feel like you really enjoyed the second break.
Oh, I loved it so much because we stopped talking about Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. What is your favorite, just for the audience? Yeah. They know how much you like your breaks.
Yeah.
First or second break, what's your favorite?
Usually?
Yeah.
Just in general? The first break, usually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you know it's like for this one, it's like, well, let's just get it over with.
Well, yeah, and the second break, we're going into comedy talk. I'm just like, all right, let's wrap.
It's more dread.
Yeah.
It's not so much a break as it's
because I can get excited over some of the topics that we have.
Okay.
Baseball, you know. Stuff like that.
Or as Tom Hanks would say,
Elvis, why don't you try to record a major hit song?
Ryan Reynolds is right. We can put him in 18 movies. The boy's got abs. The boy's got abs. We gotta put this guy in the movie, make him a star. You wanna be Deadpool? You wanna be Deadpool?
Arguably the worst performance in any movie ever. It's so bad.
But I lied to the people and I didn't realize I was lying.
Yeah.
Because the Punchdown of the Week involves Ryan Reynolds. And this is like by a weird coincidence. I had forgotten what I had sort of circled. It's our first Punchdown from Instagram. Hi, Instagram followers. This one, I'm not going to identify the person, but I posted a picture that a fan had once made for Making Podcasts Great Again. It's Donald Trump sitting at his desk. And instead of like, you know that photo where there's like an ethereal Jesus, like with his hands on Trump's shoulder that some of the MAGA people will share? Instead, it's an ethereal Jeff Epstein.
Oh, I did see that. Okay. Yeah.
Like he's like putting, you didn't like it though, did you?
I don't know. Maybe, did I see it from you?
The real Punchdown of the Week is being ignored by Mike Coscarelli. I guess that's a Mike Coscarelli rule. So I share that and even in the caption, it says something to the effect of Jeffrey Epstein is like talking to Trump. And somebody wrote, why does Jesus look like old man Ryan Reynolds?
Oh, whoa.
And let me tell you something. First of all, no, that is a class. If you're trying to joke, there's nothing funnier than Jeffrey Epstein as an angel guiding Donald Trump in the White House.
It's the tops.
You can't. There's nothing over that. So if you're trying to make a joke here, like Ryan, and if you're serious, get out of here. If that was a serious comment, like you didn't know who Jeff Epstein was. But I then got thinking, I was like, you know what role you'll never see Ryan Reynolds play? Jeffrey Epstein.
Sure.
Because that'll be a real push. That would require somebody to dig deep.
Imagine Jeffrey Epstein just breaking the third wall every 5 seconds. Yeah.
Anyway, are the kids here? I asked Ghislaine to get me 9-year-olds. They're 14. She's fired. Bye, 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 bye. Are the Capri Suns here? Don't you hate how hard the straws are with the Capri Suns? The little girls can't even drink them quick enough. Oh, Donald Trump is here. He's like my Wolverine. Remember that movie? References, references. Okay, well, now we're going to go molest some kids. Bye, 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 bye. That was Ryan Reynolds as Jeffrey Epstein in the award-winning
touched Epstein, by an Epstein.
Epstein and Trump.
Yeah, Epstein and Trump.
Okay. We're at the conclusion of the show, everybody. I've had a lot of fun today.
Yeah, I have too.
You see how much he doesn't want to say that? He's like,
I don't want. Because I do want to come.
I don't
want
to encourage JL by saying I like the show.
Yeah.
But I watched a special on Netflix. It was Chad Daniels, and the special is called Empty Nester. And which is what it's called also when Nestor bangs Matt Gaetz. That was like his pool, like his like adopted son. Do you remember that weird story?
No, okay. Please just finish this. I'm begging you. I want to go home.
New Jersey Transit was over an hour late today. Oh, wait. Can I do it like this? New Jersey Transit was over an hour late today. That's why we started so late. I watched his special because I'd heard his name. He's like one of those comics that I just kind of, every so often I'll look at a club website and I'll be like, oh, he's there. Oh, interesting. So this is a name I've known for a while. And he's a Minnesota guy, and he was doing it at a theater in Minnesota. I'll, by the way, be performing in that same city, St. Paul, Minnesota. Not in a theater, but in a quaint, comfy club. Okay. This is one of those specials where I was like, sometimes I watch a comedian and go, I had a few laughs for sure. No, but it's more like, oh, yeah, he is a good comedian. Like, in terms of the skills, the timing, the writing of a comedian. But I kind of like was just like, oh, it was good. Mm-hmm. But I didn't like, there are specials because I'm not that hard to laugh. For a comedian, I'm actually not the hardest laugh. But I was just kind of like, that was good. Like you watch it and you're like, that was well done. He knows what he's doing. He's a technician. He's got good jokes. And I hate thinking like this because I normally don't think like this. But I did start to have this creeping feeling of like, it just feels kind of like tattooed white dad, you know, dealing with being like late 40s or whatever, and just like, here's all the shit going on in my life. And I was just like, eh. So it's good. Like, it's like, and if that's up your alley, if you're looking for less bold, provocative, half blackface esque comedy,
or Deadpool and the Wolverine.
It's really funny. Then you know, and like I said, it's like solid, but I just feel like I wasn't like laughing as much as I expected, just from like kind of a veteran comic that I'm seeing for the first time. You know, these guys, you can see five specials and by the end you're not like Dave Attell. I don't laugh as much at Dave Attell now as I did 15 years ago. It's not that he's bad but it's kind of like the first few times you see it and feel it and hear it, you hear that style and that talent. Whereas this one, I was kind of like, I felt like it was familiar. Like, I felt like I knew this guy, and maybe not in the best way. Not that he's copying anything, but for whatever that's worth. Chad Daniels, Empty Nester, he's obviously a solid, good comedian, but not as many laughs loud as I thought. So, there. That's, for whatever that's worth, that's the review this week. So, Mike, you want to go home, but before you go home, you got to give the people their homework.
Your homework. Rain on Your Parade listeners. If you're watching on YouTube, please leave a comment. It helps us with the algorithm. They've been getting good lately. They're very fun, and we like interacting with you guys on the comments when they are worthy. So please do that. And if you are also watching on YouTube, please feel free. Take us on your commute with you. We're an audio product as well. You can listen to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. If you have not left a review yet on either Apple or Spotify, please do so. Spotify only allows us stars, so you know, 5 stars is usually the way to go. And Apple Podcasts, you can say something nice, put it in the blurb, say that we sent you, slam Ryan Reynolds, whatever you want to do. I believe that's it for. Oh, and if you can, while you're there, on YouTube, follow Slickback Studios on YouTube. You can follow us on Instagram as well, Slickback_Studios. And we appreciate any help that you guys can give us to get seen by more people and grow the show. So, JL, back to you for whatever plugs you have left. Half Blackface?
It'd be nice if they would go review Half Blackface on Amazon. But what I would say on a serious note is I always make my plugs, and for whatever reason, my fans seem to really enjoy the will they, won't they aspect of our, like, will they buy tickets to see me or won't they?
The Sam and Diane of it all.
Yeah, it's a real moonlighting vibe we have.
Yeah.
But do a solid by Mike. You know, when you're on YouTube, we're getting a couple thousand views. If you're listening to this or watching, just click subscribe. You can check in once in a while, see what they're doing. But even just by virtue of subscribing, you're helping the studio.
Yeah, big time.
Mike does a lot of work. And as you see, good work. So, you know, he's like Ryan Reynolds if Ryan Reynolds only made good movies.
Oh, that's very flattering.
And on that note, it's a perfect way to wrap up this episode. Remember, kids, wrap it up. And I will see you next Thursday.